This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have commies getting arrested, something to celebrate about. We still want COVID accountability. Jack Smith gave testimony today. Is Gavin Newsom in trouble? All that and more coming up on I'm Right. I haven't let COVID go. I never will. I never will. And believe me, I'm well aware of the huge stories that are out there today, and we are going to get to those stories. I'm aware that communists got arrested in Minnesota, and I'm excited. Matt Walsh is going to join us. Gavin Newsom might have some legal trouble ahead. There are big things happening, I know. But there's a story floating around right now. Just the News released the story. It's a report showing that Dr. Fauci and Francis Collins, they plotted to, let me see if I can use their words, circumvent impressive data that showed support for COVID natural immunity over vaccination. Now, what does that mean? What do all those medical terms mean? That means that the people who were the leading medical voices, doctor this, doctor that, the people who were the leading medical voices in this country, they knew that natural immunity was effective against COVID, that the human body would obviously create its own defense system, and that would spread, and that was going to be the... They knew that, and they chose to cover it up and hide it in order to force a vaccine into your veins that wasn't even a vaccine. And they told you over and over again that it was safe and effective.
The thing that went right was the investment over decades in the basic and clinical biomedical research that allowed us to make a vaccine in unprecedented time of less than a year that turned out to be safe and highly effective.
They are safe and so effective.
We know that vaccines are safe and effective.
The data is so compelling that these vaccines are safe and effective.
Vaccination not only prevents you from acquiring severe illness, but we now know with certainty that it largely prevents transmission.
My gut feeling is that these vaccines prevent infection and therefore will prevent transmission.
The vaccine not only prevents people from getting sick, it also prevents transmission of the virus from person to person.
We're vaccinating so very fast. Our data from the CDC today suggests that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick, and that it's not just in the clinical trials, but it's also in real world data.
It's not just that they lied. They knew they were lying. They knew your body had a natural defense system that would work. They told you it wouldn't. And then they sold you something that blew your heart up. Why would I bring this up now? Should we be talking about other things? Well, there are people watching right now who lost someone because of that vaccine. Maybe that's you. There are people watching right now who watch their child miss out on graduation, sports, maybe suffered some severe learning loss, social anxiety because of all these things. There are people watching right now, maybe this is you, who had to say goodbye to a parent or loved one up on Zoom call on their phone because, of course, you were never allowed to gather. And the reason these terrible things were done to you was that people were lying to you about it. And it steams me to no end that these people aren't afraid. They're not afraid of being prosecuted, all the damage they did. They're not afraid. And so many of them now, they're such soulless monsters. They'll just get up in front of you right now and they'll just lie about what they did. Here is former Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau
human rights of those who didn't want to get vaccinated. Yet some people have died as a result of this. Is that really a smirking matter?
Why you pushed in Canada to vaccinate the people?
Pushing disinformation the way you have.
What is disinformation?
Irresponsible.
What, that people have died?
People in Canada to vaccinate.
I'm sorry, but
that's the COVID vaccine.
But that's not misinformation. My old cameraman's mother actually.
And you pushed them into jail.
My old cameraman's mother actually died after complications from the COVID vaccine. So is that misinformation? Oh, now you're laughing.
They're not afraid. They're not afraid at all. And it bothers me. Now, let's set that aside and change the subject really quickly. I'm just going to read you a couple things. Actually, it's from the Bible. Proverbs is the book. Trust me, and I'm going somewhere with this. Proverbs 21:9, it is better to live in the corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Proverbs 21:19, it is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. I could go down the list. Lots of proverbs are featured here, but for the sake of time, I just want to remind you, whether you believe in the words in the Bible or not, the Bible is the world's greatest self-help manual, among other things. It was God looking out for you. If you are single, man or woman, you need to do whatever you can do to ensure you never marry somebody like this.
I went to Princeton and Harvard. I mean, I practiced law. I was an assistant to the mayor in Chicago. I ran a nonprofit, a 501c3.
Like, I've been doing this.
I was a vice president for community relations at the University of Chicago Hospitals. I was a dean of students. I was like, oh, you guys, all of that just disappeared in the course of this whole election, and you now see me as just Barack Obama's wife. So that made me say, that quickly, my shoes become the most important thing about me, right? And again, not unique to me, it can happen to the best of us. So I shied away from fashion leading the conversation, but I knew I didn't completely control it. So let's lean in.
Just Barack Obama's wife. Sneers at it. Work very hard to avoid marrying somebody like that. All right, we're going to talk. We made an arrest, couple of them. Before we get to that, let me get to you. Let me get to natural herbal supplements from Chalk. It is time to change how you feel at the end of the day. I'm talking about at the end of the day when you walk in and drop your keys and it's time to make dinner or it's time to hang with the kids or and you're just... you're out of gas. You don't have to be. Let Chalk pep you up. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk will save your life. They've changed my life. At work, at home. Go to choq.com/JesseTV. I take a male vitality stack every single day. They have whatever you're looking for. Choq.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Those fucking Nazis. Come and get me, Pam Bondi, you fucking traitorous bitch. All power to the people.
Oops. He's in custody now, so that's going well. Joining me now to gloat about that, I don't know, we'll discuss plenty of things, including his new series, which I'm about to nerd out on, is, of course, Matt Walsh. He has a series called Real History on the Daily Wire, which is great because that subject has been infiltrated with dirty America-hating communists for all of my life. Anyway, we'll get to that in a little bit. Matt, all right, we got some communists in custody. It's, of course, not everything we ever wanted. We want to see Hillary Clinton, James Comey, and the rest of them walk down the same perp walk, but it's something.
It is something. I mean, it's a lot. Listen, I mean, we heard it there in the clip. The thing with these leftists is that, and the reason why they're out there cosplaying as revolutionaries is that they just assume that there will never be any consequences for their actions. And you can't really blame them for assuming that. They had good reason to assume it. I mean, these are the same people, as we know, who burned down entire city blocks for months you know, during the Floyd riots, they invaded police stations and burned those to the ground. I mean, if you can invade a police station and burn it to the ground and basically nothing happens to you, then you're going to assume at that point that you're Teflon, that you're impervious to all consequences, which has been their assumption. And that's why now, if you just push back a little bit, if you start instating some consequences, I think it all falls apart for them very quickly. All these people are going to fall apart because they didn't get into this agitator domestic terrorism game with the thought in mind that they might end up in jail. Like, these are not the kinds of domestic terrorists who sort of know that this is where it's going to lead and they're okay with it. These are the kinds who just assume that it's all a game. And I think the moment you push them a little bit, they're just going to fall to pieces. And I can't wait to see that happening. We're already seeing it happen, and I think it's great.
Matt, obviously, you're coming on here to discuss your new series, History. So I want to ask you a little bit of history before we get to that specifically. We have, very obviously, in this country, not just hostile city-states. They're essentially foreign city-states where foreigners select the Democrat government in that city, and then they operate outside of the law. They operate openly against the interests of the United States of America. And I have been struggling for a while to find a historical example of what we're dealing with here. Our biggest, most important cities aren't America, don't even pretend to be America. In fact, they'll scream from the rooftops that they intend to work against America. How does a country deal with this?
Well, I think, there's no way to do it other than, here's the way I look at it. This is what I've been saying for a long time. When you're in an ugly situation, there is no pretty answer. Like, every answer is ugly. You're in an ugly situation, and so the solution is also going to be ugly. That's just the way it is. That's life. And when we're in the situation, as you just described it, I think you describe it well, there's no solution that isn't ugly, and we just have to decide. Now, there's uglier solutions, but you got to choose a path and take it. And so what that means is responding forcefully and punishing these people, punishing the perpetrators, and punishing, by the way, I love the arrests. That's great. That's the first step. But then it's got to be the follow-up where it's not just, well, we're going to fine you or you spend 6 weeks in jail. It's, no, you're going to prison for a long time and your life is basically over. We're going to ruin your life. And you're going to cry about it and you're going to give us the sob story. You're going to tell us about your family and you're going to tell us all those things. And we're going to look back at you and say, well, you should have thought of that before you did this because now your life is over. Your life is ruined. And anyone else who does this, we're going to do the same thing to them. That's, by the way, that's what the left does with us. Like, that's going to be the left's response. If you or I did the equivalent of this, then we know what they would do. And we don't have to guess about it. I mean, we don't have to speculate at all. We saw with the Biden administration, not just them going after the J6ers, but them using the FACE Act to throw pro-lifers, or at least try to throw pro-lifers, in prison for years at a time for peacefully protesting outside of abortion clinics where they're slaughtering babies. And so we know that's how the left handles it. And the only, if there's a way out, then that's the way, to just start putting real consequences in place. I don't know any other solution.
Matt, do you dye your beard? I just don't understand how you can be the age you are without any gray in your beard. Mine's just getting whiter and whiter, and I look older every single day. And I don't understand why there's no gray in yours.
Well, I'm actually glad you asked me that, because I am unfairly maligned as a guy who dyes my beard. I don't. I actually have a lot of gray in the beard. It just doesn't come across in the camera for some reason. If you see me in person, I look 25 years older than I do on camera, and I already look old and haggard on camera. So that's not a good sign. But I have it. It just doesn't come through on camera. And I like the gray in the beard. It looks distinguished. So I'm a fan of it.
I feel like it did look distinguished for me a couple years ago when there was some. Now I feel like we're getting to the point where there's too much. But anyway, let's move on. I want to talk about this series. In fact, I want to play everybody the trailer. I was nerding out on this on my phone this morning. Here's the trailer for Matt's new series.
Historians and political pundits spend a lot of time talking about the transatlantic slave trade, the 350-year period in which an estimated 12.5 million slaves were brought to the Americas. But what we don't learn in school is where those slaves actually went. Just under half of them, an estimated 5.4 million, went only to Brazil, and many more went to the Caribbean. 1.2 million went to Jamaica, more than 900,000 to St. Dominique, and 889,000 to Cuba. The grand total of slaves brought to the future United States was about half the number brought only to Cuba, 472,372, or 3% of the total. The ones who came to the 13 colonies were the lucky ones. In the context of global slavery, getting put on a ship to New Orleans was really a best case scenario. If you think American slavery was bad, wait until you see what happened to the ones who didn't make it here.
I am sure this series will be well received with no controversy whatsoever, but Matt, please elaborate, because those of us who understand what slavery was like on places like Haiti, which was not called Haiti back then, understand exactly what you're saying, but it's your series. Please take it away.
Yeah, I think, and this is a series where we're going to look at many historical episodes, including often ones that are much talked about. We hear a lot about slavery. It's talked about quite a bit, but not well understood. And the reason why it's not well understood is no accident. Of course, we know that all of our institutions in this country have been lying about it, starting with, but not only, the education system, because the education that kids are given in this country is designed and has been designed for generations specifically to make them hate the country, hate themselves, be ashamed of their own history, be ashamed of the history of this country. And so we're going to look at a lot of these kinds of episodes. And it makes sense, I think, to start with slavery, because if there's one thing from history that is most often used as a cudgel against Americans, and in particular white Americans, then of course it's slavery. And the fact is that, look, if you were to go to, you know, just the average person walking down the street, liberal or conservative, and ask them what they think about slavery, ask them to talk about it a little bit, you're going to find that a huge number of them honestly do believe that not only did America have some sort of unique relationship with slavery, but and not only was American slavery more brutal than every other kind of slavery on earth, which is false, but even that maybe slavery began in America, that we somehow invented it or invented a worse version of it. There's a lot of people that believe this because this is what they're told. And it's just not true. So in the series, what we do is we start, now it's like 45 minutes, it's kind of an overview, and we encourage you after you watch it to then go continue your education and pursue knowledge on your own, which everybody should be doing. This is so you can only cover so much in 45 minutes, but it begins with a global look because slavery was a global institution. It existed all across the world for thousands of years. It is one of the few things that pretty much every human civilization on earth agreed on, unfortunately, which is why when European pioneers and settlers came to the New World in the 16th century, 15th to 16th century, they found these civilizations that had been separated from the rest of the world for thousands and thousands of years across this entire body of water. And yet, even in all of these places, all across the New World, they all had slavery. Like they had also come to that conclusion that it's okay to own people. So this is, if this is a an original sin that someone can still carry the guilt for, like if we carry the guilt of slavery in our blood somehow, well, if that's the case, then every single person on earth carries that guilt, because we are all descended from people who participated in slavery and profited from it. And so we start with that, with the global look, and then you kind of narrow it down. Okay, let's talk about the transatlantic slave trade. And what you find even there is that, we heard in the clip there, that Americans were not the primary villains of the transatlantic slave trade. They didn't even, they weren't even anywhere close to the main recipients of the slaves that came on the transatlantic slave trade. And then there's the other part of the story that is never talked about, which is, where do those slaves come from? How did we get those slaves? And well, it turns out that African tribes and African kingdoms became very wealthy by enslaving other Africans and then selling them to European slave traders or to Arab slave traders. And guess what? As we also cover in the series, that if you were an African and you were captured by an African slaver, really the best thing that could possibly happen to you at that point is to end up on a plantation in the American South. Because if you went to South America, you're gonna be in a much, much worse spot. And if you end up, if you stay in Africa, or if you go to, if you get taken by the Arabs, then that's the worst of all. That's the worst scenario of all. And that doesn't make, obviously, slavery in America okay. That's not the argument that anybody is making. But it does mean that there's a lot of context, a lot of context that is missing from this conversation. And we're trying to bring all that context back in.
How about that? My oldest son, James, who watches more of your content than mine, which is only a little bit hurtful, and is a history freak, is about to nerd out on this entire thing. Matt, my brother, thank you. I can't wait. Real history on the Daily Wire. That's gonna be good. All right, Jack Smith testified today. Talk to Julie Kelly about that. Before we talk to Julie Kelly about that, let me talk to you about switching your phone service. We have communists getting arrested. We like that. These street animals. How did they get so bold? Well, let me tell you one of the ways they got so bold. They got corporate sponsorship. Have you ever sat back and wondered why these people make so much money? You're finding out about they made a million from this and a million from that. You know why? Because your cell phone company paid them. You have AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon. Might want to go look into what you paid for. I have Pure Talk. I didn't pay for any of it. My cell phone company charges me less. They hire Americans. They're run by a Vietnam veteran. Switch, it's easy. Keep your phone, keep your number. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
I am not a politician, and I have no partisan loyalties. I want to be clear. I stand by my decisions as special counsel, including the decision to bring charges against President Trump. Our investigation developed proof beyond a reasonable doubt that President Trump engaged in criminal activity. If asked whether to prosecute a former president based on the same facts today, I would do so regardless of whether that president was a Democrat or a Republican. No one should be above the law in this country, and the law required that he be held to account, so that is what I did.
Just a nonpartisan guy on the up and up. It's good to hear. Joining me now, Julie Kelly. No relation, by the way, my friend Julie Kelly. You can find her work at declassified.live. All right, Julie, you must be some kind of glutton for punishment because you watched this whole freaking thing. What stood out to you?
Well, this is what Jack Smith and President Trump have wanted, quite frankly, and that is the public sworn testimony of Jack Smith. And Jesse, regardless of the outcome here, I think it's important that the American taxpayers who paid for this clown, this dirtbag, this thug and his team of henchmen, $50 million in less than 2 years to try to put President Trump behind bars. I think that they're entitled to see this guy speak for himself. I think at this point, the hearing's still going on. As the hearing was going on today, I think Republicans found their footing a little bit and started to land some blows on Jack Smith, especially, Jesse, and we could talk about this more specifically, what appears to be he did not take an oath of office after Merrick Garland swore him or appointed him, only was sworn in September of 2023. That's important because that's after he signed his name as special counsel to those criminal indictments against the president. So we'll be interested to see if there's any consequences of that. But overall, I think that Jack Smith showed America who he is. He is self-righteous, indignant, arrogant for no reason, given his prosecutorial track record, and also what an absolute travesty that he was allowed free rein to go after the president and almost succeeded, except that the president won the 2024 election.
Okay, I want to drill down for a moment about that oath of office thing because, well, here's a clip of it for everybody.
It strikes me as odd that Attorney General Garland had you retake the oath of office on the 14th of September of the following year. Why did he make you do that?
As I sit here right now, I do not recall. I know that there is the oath of office that I signed. I believe it was on the 18th, the day that I was appointed, and I know the department had me do a second one. I don't know the particulars of why they asked me to do it again, but
wait,
I know
you signed it on the 20th of November 22nd, November 2022, but there was no witness, which, I mean, you have to agree, it's a little odd. If there's no witness saying that you took the oath of office, it would maybe make someone like me question whether or not you were legitimately doing the job until you finally took the oath of office. It sounds like the Attorney General had the same question and thought, oh, we got to have him sign this on the 14th day of September of the following year. So why did you take the oath of office again on the 14th of September of the following year?
Julie, those of us who are, don't understand legal process at all, kind of sounds like it's very confusing, but details are really, really important. Why does this matter?
It does matter, and I think this is a really important find by House Judiciary Committee, because as an officer of the court, or really any employee representing the United States government, which Jack Smith was, you have to take a sworn oath that we see everyone take. And my understanding is that there has to be a witness for taking that oath. Now, this is the second time that Jack Smith has prevaricated, I'm putting that nicely, about his memory related to how he took the first oath. He was confronted with this, was very surprised during his closed-door testimony last month, couldn't remember who swore him in, couldn't remember who was there, couldn't remember where he was, because recall, he was still at The Hague when he was appointed. He was not even in the United States. So then what I'm assuming happened, Merrick Garland or someone discovered that he had not been formally sworn into office or taken an oath. However, he had already signed really three criminal indictments, because there were two in the documents case, a superseding indictment handed down in July of 2023. So this raises a really serious question. Were these indictments legitimate at all? I went back and looked at the indictment. There's no other U.S. attorney's name signed to them. There's no assistant U.S. attorney's name signed to those indictments. It is only Jack Smith. So the question is, were those indictments legit at all to begin with?
Okay, so I'm sorry to drill down on stupid questions, but I'm thinking about it, Julie. What does that mean if the indictments weren't legitimate? So let's just assume, for the sake of argument, they were not legitimate. What does that mean from here?
Well, of course, both indictments now have been dismissed. The Florida indictment was dismissed by Judge Cannon in July of 2024, and then the January 6th case dropped after the president won the election. So we know that the president is suing the Department of Justice for pursuing him. I would think that this could embolden his case for some sort of compensation for what was done to him. Recall, he had two co-defendants in the Florida documents case, Walt Nauta, who's back with the president, and a separate Mar-a-Lago employee. So I don't really know, to be honest. I'm going to do some digging with people smarter than I am, who have actual law degrees and are officers of the court, and see what this actually could mean for the president, and culpability for Jack Smith, who clearly knew that he was acting as an officer of the court without properly taking the oath of office, which is required under the law.
Julie, tell me about this conspiracy case in Florida. You obviously have kept us up to date on Judge Cannon down there. Where is this thing at? Where is it going? Who might be swept up in this? I would love to see communists go to prison.
You and me both, brother, even though we're not related. But it does appear that there are two grand juries operating in the Southern District of Florida. This is the grand conspiracy case that we've been told is underway by the new acting U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Florida. I have met this gentleman, Jason Quinones. He is very serious about pursuing this grand conspiracy case, which could potentially go all the way back to Russiagate, which is what Jim Jordan really kicked off the hearing with today. So I think that there's grand juries there. What charges they're looking at, I'm not sure, but it does seem active and ongoing.
Julie, James Comey had his charges, dismissed. We all saw earlier today, Don Lemon, he's going down, but then a judge doesn't sign off on it. I understand there are frustrations, understandable frustrations from the DOJ. Can you tell me, do your sources tell you we're making progress? I know there are dirtball commies all throughout our justice system that are going to throw sand in the gears. I get that. Are we making progress?
I think that we are, but I see every day, we see every day what this Department of Justice is up against with these judges and others. So yes, you know, we did get the two indictments. The DOJ did get those two indictments in Minnesota, Minneapolis, but did not get the one against Don Lemon, a magistrate judge, shockingly. And this hardly ever happens, signed a criminal complaint against Don Lemon. So I don't know what they're gonna do now, but we also see this happening in Washington, D.C. repeatedly, where, and this is gonna be a struggle if they do try to bring charges against Jack Smith in Washington for what he did in those cases and even perjured or false statements he has made to Congress. Because you're going to be dealing with judges and grand juries in Washington that are highly politicized and do not want to help the Department of Justice bring charges at all against anyone. So that's a real problem.
Julie, come back soon. I appreciate you. Gavin Newsom. I'm not going to sit here and sell you some false hope that Gavin Newsom's going to prison, but I think he might be in some trouble. Talk about that in a moment with John Phillips. Before we talk about that, let's talk about chips. You see, we have a little thing going on down here where I live in Texas. I'm sure you've heard about this nationwide freeze that's coming, which I grew up in Montana. It is what it is. Nevertheless, the grocery stores sell out down here and no one gets out on the roads and everyone locks down as if the world is ending, which of course prompted me to say, do we have enough chips? It's the first thing on my mind. I need to know the chip situation in the house, but I should have known my wife takes care of me. We have 4 bags of Vandy crisps in the house. I'm good to go. And I can eat them right in front of her. I don't even have to get the side eye because Vandy crisps aren't bad for you like all the other chips are. Just potatoes, salt, beef tallow. None of this monothonium, all these words you can't describe. Do you want to be able to eat chips, amazing chips, guilt-free? VandyCrisps.com. Use the promo code JesseTV for 25% off your first order. We'll be back.
I can't take this complicity. People rolling over. I should have brought a bunch of knee pads for all the world leaders. I mean, handing out crowns and handing... I mean, this is pathetic. Nobel Prizes, they are being given away. I mean, it's just pathetic. And I hope people understand how pathetic they look on the world stage. I mean, at least from an American perspective, it's embarrassing.
So what should Europe
time
be doing?
The Europeans should decide for themselves what to do. But one thing they can't do is what they've been doing. And they've been playing. This guy is playing folks for fools. And it's embarrassing.
Europeans think this is diplomacy and this will ultimately work.
Oh, this is
work.
Diplomacy with Donald Trump? He's a T-Rex. You mate with him or he devours you. One or the other.
And Europe's being devoured?
People need to stand. No, the Europeans could be if they continue down this path and process. They need to stand tall, stand firm, stand united.
Well, one thing that you always have to understand about Gavin Newsom, John Phillips teaches us about this all the time, is there's always an angle. There's a reason. Everything's been poll tested and thought about, and he's running a primary and everything else. What's he talking about? What's he doing there? What is he trying to get out of this whole thing? Joining me now, John Phillips, host of the John Phillips Show. All right, John, what's the angle? The T-Rex, Europe should be standing up to him, but what, the knee pad thing, what should I be seeing here?
He looks like a guy who crashed a wedding at the DoubleTree by the airport looking for an open bar, and he doesn't belong, but he wants that free booze. And he's willing to do or say anything so he can get that Tito's and soda and not have to shell out the $7 for it. And I think this is all part of Gavin Newsom's plan, where he wants to portray himself as the leader of the opposition. And I don't even think that the Europeans are the audience that he's talking to. I think who he's talking to right now are Democratic primary voters, because if you notice, what he's saying is people should be speaking out about how awful Donald Trump is. People should be calling him out at every opportunity. And I think a lot of people connect those dots and say, okay, he's talking to the Europeans. No, what he's doing is he's comparing himself to other Democrats who are going to be running for president. What he's doing is he's going, me, 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 me. And you can't trust that Josh Shapiro because he's not here. You can't trust Kamala Harris because she's on a book tour instead of following Donald Trump around and harassing him or attempting to harass him every time he gives a speech somewhere that draws a national audience. What he's doing is stirring the pot in that Democratic primary, and this is part and parcel Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom is a party of one, and he's collecting enemies in that primary. And let me tell you, it's not going unnoticed among his challengers in the Democratic primary, and the knives are being sharpened right now, and I can't wait until they come out.
Does this work on Democrats? I know it's difficult to psychologize a voter that doesn't necessarily share much in common with people like you and me, but does this, because you're right, he's following him around, trying to get on some of that spotlight, look like he's the one who's truly fighting Trump at every turn. I know that's what Democrat voters want. Every poll shows it. But does this kind of obvious thing work?
What he's doing works in the now in terms of generating attention. But here's his problem. Donald Trump is not going to be on the ballot next time around. Donald Trump is a termed out president. Some other Republican will be on the ballot, whether it's J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio or someone we're not even talking about right now. What Gavin Newsom's risk is here is he looks like a guy who just isn't growing with the times. If you talk about someone who's no longer relevant in the context of the election, then you look like someone who has an out-of-date haircut. You look like some woman with a Peggy Bundy haircut who's showing up at a club in 2026. And Gavin Newsom is that guy right now. He is putting all of his chips on the fact that that Donald Trump will be sucking up all of the oxygen in the 2028 election, and that election will be about him, despite the fact that his name won't be on the ballot. And that's a big risk.
Alex Soros appears to be all over him. And of course, we can make fun of Alex Soros because he's dumb. He can't even complete sentences. His father was at least an evil genius. Alex doesn't appear to have gotten the half of that. But either way, that aside, he's taking pictures with Gavin Newsom. That, of course, comes with a boatload of money. That's a big get, right? Or did he get him?
It is in terms of money, but that picture didn't do him any favors. I love the fact that Huma Abedin seems to have a fetish for men who destroy the Democratic Party from within. So you can add him to the Anthony Weiner list to that. If he's trying to help Gavin Newsom out, then publicly aligning himself with Gavin Newsom is not the way to do it. You want to help him out privately. You want to help him out behind the scenes. The fact that you're publicly posting photographs of you with Gavin Newsom to social media is certainly not something that's going to help him in a general election. And I don't even know if that helps him in a primary, because part of what he would sell is electability. He would say, all these other people are old. Biden was old. Trump was old. I'm young. I've got the good-looking family. I'm the guy who can bring the energy. I'm the guy who can get elected, do something that Kamala Harris couldn't do. But if you surround yourself with these toxic people and Democratic voters start to believe that that toxicity will prevent you from winning the general election, that takes away a huge part of his argument.
Do Democrat voters see that as toxicity, though? Because Democrat voters themselves are toxic at this point in time. When you look at what drives them to the polls, what their issues are, this is not the party of where the voter cares about the working man anymore. These people love pedophiles.
Well, I mean, his opponent will be someone like AOC. And so he's going to say she's not electable because she's taken this radical position and that radical position, and she's only been able to win in a very blue district in New York. Look at me. I've won statewide. I have appealed to people other than the Democratic base. That's why he's doing this podcast, and he just had Ben Shapiro as a guest on the podcast. He's had Stephen Bannon and Michael Savage and the late Charlie Kirk and others. That is going to be part of his profile that he's going to put out there. And the moment that you start aligning yourself with these people, while Democratic voters may not dislike the Soros family, they understand what kind of negative attention they draw. I mean, that's like going out in public and, you know, claiming O.J. Simpson just endorsed you. Like, okay, well, you know, maybe there's some Buffalo Bills fans that'll win over, but I don't know about the public at large. And I think that they are so hungry to win right now, they're almost willing to put electability above being a lunatic on the scale of importance.
Well, O.J. could really cut up defenses, but let's not focus on that for now. Let's talk about the fraud. Let's talk about fire fraud and Gavin Newsom. What's happening?
There's a fund, and Gavin will say, okay, I'm not in charge of the fund, so you can't blame me. There was a fund that raised $100 million for the fire victims, and they had a telethon, and they had all the entertainers that came out. They put fire victims on television and used them as the ass to generate money. Fine. People give them $100 million. People were very generous in wanting to help the fire victims. Well, the fire victims aren't getting the money. That money is turned into a slush fund that is going to every Democratic-connected interest group, nonprofit that you can imagine. Nonprofits that have nothing to do with anything. It's going to pay for podcasts. It's going to pay for voter registration. It's going to pay for different groups that deal with the homeless and those sorts of things. And when actual fire victims who have called my show, people who lost everything that they own in that fire, go to the people that run the fund and they say, hey, we need the money for lodging because our insurance will only pay for 1 year of lodging and now we're running out because it's taking a lot longer to rebuild than anyone thought. Or, hey, we need money to hire an attorney because our insurance company won't pay us what we're owed and that money would be helpful right now. They can't get a phone call returned. The money is not going to the victims in any way, shape, or form. It's going to all of these existing groups that deal with issues that really have nothing to do with the fire or helping out the fire victims, but those groups are doing just fine. And when people say, hey, that money was stolen, they go, oh, fact check, that is misinformation. The money was not stolen. And technically, they're true because the money was never meant to go to the fire victims in the first place. It was always meant to go to these left-wing groups. So I guess technically it's not theft because the money went to the groups that it was supposed to go to, but those groups aren't helping the fire victims.
So who's the one doling out the cash? Who collected the cash? Who's doling out the cash? Who's the main bad guy in this situation?
Well, it's very difficult to find out because it's not the state that's running it. It's a non-for-profit that they all got behind. And this is typically what they do. They take these groups, and frequently you'll see, especially in local government, what happens is you have a politician who gets termed out from the city council, and they'll go and they'll work for one of these non-for-profit organizations. Frequently in California, it has to do with the homeless because we spend a lot of money on homeless services. So the city, the county, the state, whomever, we issue grants to that organization. That organization has humongous administrative costs, and they hire their friends, they hire their family, they hire other politically connected people, people who are connected to the electeds that are throwing them the money, and the money gets gobbled up by the administrative fees and all of the salaries. And the problem that they apparently claim to exist to solve just gets worse and worse and worse, and they go, oh yeah, well, we need more money. The problem is we don't have enough money, so give us more money. And then they just continue to launder it amongst themselves, and then they'll go from one of these organizations and they'll run for another office, and they go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So you can say, well, these organizations are run by the government because that's where they get their money. And frequently their leaders come from government. But technically speaking, they're not government. Technically speaking, they're non-for-profits. So it's very difficult to trace those dollars to find out who the exact individual is who's making the decisions, because they change so often.
What a friggin' racket. Jeez. John, as always, thank you, brother. They're just a bunch of dirty thieves in the end. All right, we do have a light in the mood. Good news. Before we get to light in the mood, I have even better news. You know what? This lightens my mood. JesseKelly.com. No, it's not fancy videos and things like that. No, I'm not trying to sell you anything at all. I'm going to give you something. We've been working on something for a while. Long-time viewers of the show, listeners to the radio show, have a good idea of what that something is, but it is not going to be a gag. I swear we're not playing a joke. It is totally free. We're not going to charge you anything, but we're going to email you something, something I think you're going to enjoy a lot, maybe something you're going to spread around to others, but you have to go to jessekelly.com and put in your email address. That's it. Simple. jessekelly.com. Put in the email address. We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood, and let's do remember that politics does matter. It is important. There are real life consequences for voting the wrong way. In Trump's first year, drug overdoses fell 20% in this country. How many people are alive today because Kamala Harris did not win that election? That's a really, really big deal. It's really important. Salute to them. Keep the border secure. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.